Matt Donald here, folks. Worst microphone alert, because my microphone I normally use to record this is currently still packed in luggage in my car from a trip I recently went on, and I need to get this out quickly, so the microphone from my webcam, it is so very, very professional. And what am I going to do with this worst quality that gives new listeners their first impression of this wonderfully professional and sophisticated show? Well, I want you to subscribe to my Patreon, of course, at patreon.com/MatthewDonald, where we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, sometimes in flimsy ways, sometimes in ways that are a bit of a stretch. And this month, it's the most wonderful time of year, not Christmas, hell no, not Christmas. It is time for our annual Pacific Rim episode, because the dinosaurs were implied to be kaiju in that universe, and that movie is so god dang awesome that I want to talk about it all the time with everyone every year, and that's what we do. So check that out, as well as another episode about Jurassic World the game on the phone. That'll come out soon. It was meant to come out last month, but, you know, life. Christmas, holidays, you know, the holiday season. Hard time for everyone. Link is in the description for you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a good day!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast where intelligence drifts like the continents. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by the only person on the show who I think I've talked to about non-animals on this show. Like, whenever doing anything that's non-animal, like the flower or the tree or the fungus, it's you.
Yeah, I suppose I do have a unique set of interests.
Yep, it's Natasha Crack.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. So I'm so like, you know, I always say, like, we talk about a different genus of prehistoric animal. And it's like, there are so many times where I kind of bend that. Well, not even kind of bend it. Sometimes I just flat out break it. Sometimes it's not a genus. Sometimes it's like a family. That's happened once. Sometimes it's not prehistoric. It's modern. or it's not necessarily modern. But it is. But it's still extinct. But like, we talked about the Tasmanian tiger and the dodo on here on the show before. My dad and I did an episode about the passenger pigeon.
Nice.
So that's really not prehistoric. And so it's not even an animal. So, yeah. So, and watch as I'll just do like one of these days. So for an April Fool's, I think I checked. See, those episodes come out on Tuesday, and April Fool's Day is on a Tuesday on 2025. So watch as that episode, we're going to do like the sunflower or something.
Works for me.
It's a living plant rather than an extinct animal. Yeah, time mid Pleistocene to current, like current Anthropocene or whatever we're in now. I think it's still technically called the Holocene. But some people are like, oh, we changed too much. Anthropocene.
Yeah, we'll let the scientists argue that one out.
Yeah.
We'll all sit back with a bag of popcorn.
A bag of Mountain Dew popcorn, as I found out exists recently. You ever been to those popcorn shops where like they sell different types of popcorn?
It's been a...
There's one like pretty close to here. I might go there after, actually. It's like the Puppy Chow popcorn. Mm. You know, it's like Puppy Chow is like, you're not like, obviously, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I made chocolate. One as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh, so good.
With the Chex cereal.
Yeah, Chex and like
chocolate, the butterscotch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, good. So good.
Good stuff.
And then some people have like, there's like saltier popcorn. There's like cheddar popcorn. There's like jalapeno popcorn, dill pickle popcorn. I'm not a pickle guy. A lot of people like pickles. I don't like pickles. It's the acidity. Same with mustard. Same thing. I don't like it.
I've only recently taken to some mustards. Like, okay. I like to dip my chicken nuggets in honey mustard.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes...
Or there are some cheeses that pair really nicely with a whole grain mustard.
Uh-huh.
But in small quantities.
Oh, okay. I'd like to... If I was going to contribute anything to the culinary world, I want to make a sauce. I want there to be the Matt sauce that people come to. It's like, oh, we're going to have wings. Where I was like, is Matt bringing his sauce?
I could teach you to make an Alfredo from scratch.
Right. Oh, I like that.
And use a restaurant recipe that my dad has taught me.
Oh, well, of course.
It's not healthy. Well, it's delicious.
Why would it be? No, we're not here for healthy.
It's artery-clogging delicious. Yeah.
I mean, even ironically, this is a show called Paleo Bites. We're not here for healthy vegan eating or Paleolithic eating. That is one of the reasons why I call it the show that, to confuse people. Like, oh, this is about the Paleolithic diet. So, no.
but it's about bite-sized introductions to paleontology. So
so what quarter of paleontology are we off
to? We're talking
today?
About a little gremlin guy that you've recommended.
Oh yeah, the little thing that looks like Gizmo's prehistoric cousin.
Yeah, it's like a little gliding lizard thing called Silurosauravus. which means hollow lizard grandfather.
Yes,
for real.
I remember seeing that thing in my book of dinosaurs that I used for sketch references.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the f*** is this?
No, absolutely. It's something. What it is.
The first thing I thought was, geez, did the scientists try to breed a gremlin?
Yeah, don't feed it after midnight. You know, like, don't get it wet. I only saw Gremlins recently. I saw it at a theater. Actually, it was this theater that was playing old movies, like in the theater. It's like I watched it with my friend Laura. It's funny to watch an old movie for the first time in a movie theater. It makes it seem like a new movie. Because I was not prepared by how like dark, but also how funny that movie is. I love the part where the gremlins are rampaging and they sing the Christmas songs that one person then kill them. And then that one time when they're playing poker, one of them cheats, the other one shoots.
I distinctly remember that.
And that poor bartender, she's just treating them like they're normal customers, but she's trying to rush and get their orders out. And then she tells that weird story about how she lost her dad and then realized there was no Santa Claus because of that. Like, that's f***ed up. Anyway, so type is a Wigiltosaurid, a group of gliding neodiapsid reptiles that include this guy and a few others like it. As a heads up, neodiapsids include all reptiles barring some really early and primitive ones, as well as birds, because why the hell not?
Exactly, why the hell not?
Size 14 inches to 35 centimeters long. A little guy. You can probably keep it on your shoulder.
Like, probably.
Yeah.
Like some psychotic parrot.
Yeah. Diet's carnivore, specifically insectivore, and guess what those eat? Time late Permian, 260 to 251 million years ago, which means, yep, they got et by the Great Dying.
Ah, darn it.
They shouldn't feel bad, though. A lot of things got et by the Permian extinction. About 95% of all life on Earth, in fact. Yeah, it was kind of bad.
Yeah, that is kind of bad.
Yeah, I could survive it, though. I mean, we're about to find out. Apparently, we're killing species right now at about the same rate as they were during the Permian extinction. So, yay!
Joy.
Humans! Described in 1926, pop culture appearances of the TV show Primeval and TV documentary Ancient Earth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, for some bizarre reason, reptiles have always wanted to fly.
Yeah.
Like, you got pterosaurs, of course, but then you got some birds descended from dinosaurs, and also reptiles. Then you got the Scansoroterigids, like Yi. Remember Yi, the little goblin, like, gargoyle lizard bat?
Yep.
And you got the little oddities, like Longus squama charoviptorix, that might have also flown or glided potentially. You know charoviptorix? That's the one that flew with its legs.
Oh, geez.
It spread them out like a freaking whore and just, like, flapped with them. Here, I sound like I'm exaggerating. Hold on. Charoviptorix. Charoviptorix meme is the first thing that comes. Probably about all the... Oh, God. Let's see if I can...
Yeah, okay. Those jokes write themselves.
Yeah. It's like, yay! spread those legs, ladies.
I've heard worse at the truck. You're
yeah,
not
yeah, okay. I'm in a committed relationship. It's good. Things are good. I'm good. I have regular sex anyway. Well, you know, there should be some other. It's like, so why do they want to fly? Give the other animals a chance. Like, bats have only come in because they fulfill a different niche than birds. But really, other than bats, every other animal that has flown has been reptiles, except for insects, I guess. Every other vertebrate that has been flown.
There we go. Every other vertebrate
has flown has been reptiles. Bats are the only ones. What about amphibians? Why don't you have, like, frogs flying?
I'm gonna don't them give can, them ideas. There's so, some frogs that can glide with their feet.
Well, it's like, imagine like a Charoviptorix style frog that like jumps and then spreads its back legs out and become like wings. There's an idea for you speculative biologists. But here we have another flying slash gliding reptile, one completely unrelated to the others, meaning a bunch of different group of reptiles really wanted to get their asses off the ground by any means possible. I guess slithering gets old fast or hurts or something. So we got
bust.
Fossils of this creature are found with long rod-like ossifications projecting outwards from the body as an sort of like an extension, not as an extension of the ribs, but as a structure that was further supported by additional phalanges in the fourth digit of the hands, which presumably connected with these structures by flexing its abdominal muscles to give it a structure in addition to helping grasp on tree bark.
Ah.
It could furl and unfurl these wing-like structures by flexing his abdominal muscles? It really sounds like it's just showing off.
Yeah, probably.
So look at my abs.
We are convinced it's Gizmo's prehistoric cousin,
right? I'm so shredded I can grow wings and just from the power of my swole abdominal muscles. It's like Red Bull. It's giving me wings.
Yeah, but Red Bull's really not an energy drink.
Yeah. I just got it. It says gives you wings because it gives you energy. I'm really dumb. I am really dumb. Anyways, I've always said that before. I may be intelligent, but I am not smart. These guys use this ability to like climb trees and catch insects and presumably to avoid whatever predators could reach the level, which I imagine wasn't too many at this point. Because like there weren't any other flying creatures, so the trees they climbed the trees they climbed include one such species that I talked about, Natasha and I here. I've talked about one of the few plants featured on the show, Glossopteris. Remember that?
Yes.
We talked about Glossopteris? Yeah. It was fun. Just lived a peaceful life, you know, catching bugs, avoiding predation. So we're all having a grand old time. But who knows? Maybe if the Permian extinction hadn't happened, they could have taken their wing specialization further. But alas, we'll never know.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Yeah, so. But Solaris Aravis, man, it's just. Yeah. What is this thing? I mean, it's a gremlin, that's what it is.
Yeah,
but
it's gremlins.
I mean, it doesn't have fur like Gizmo does, but.
It probably would have evolved them.
Hey, is Gremlin's racist? Because doesn't he get that thing from like a weird, like typical East Asian sort of shot?
What?
It's kind of like that part in Freaky Friday where like they switch bodies by going to a Chinese restaurant and this person does some Chinese magic to make them switch bodies. It's like it's showing like the other culture is magical or something, which is kind of a weird stereotype.
I mean, it could be Mel Brooks style.
That is true. Where it's, well, what do you mean specifically?
I mean, have you seen History of the World Part 1?
Well, yeah, no, I do like how he makes fun of literally everyone. My favorite part of that.
Where he has people of those races or whatever act out those stereotypes.
That's true. My favorite part is when it shows the caveman and has Orson Welles narrating to add some gravitas and authenticity to it. But then he's like, it shows the cave painting. It's like, these were the first artists, followed shortly by the first critic. And then another caveman pees on it. And then he has Moses at one point. He's holding three tablets. He says, I give to you from God the 15. And then one of the tablets falls and smashes. The 10 commandments.
Honestly, that is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. There was a sequel series on Hulu that came out recently. It's probably not any good, but Mel Brooks was still one of the writers. So the dude's 97 years old, I think.
And he's still writing sharp-witted comedy.
You know he's he was a minesweeper in World War II?
That's cool.
Yeah, he was a veteran.
Oh, no wonder his humor's bad.
That's just such a dangerous job. Also, he trolled Nazis back when Nazis were trying to take over the world. They were opposing camps, and the Nazis would blare out like propaganda their way, and Mel Brooks blared through their speakers Jewish folk music right back at them. Because he was a badass.
Gotta love it when people will troll each other like that.
When he dies, the amount of movie marathons that'll be there. Oh, those are so. And also, what is he gonna write on his epitaph on his tombstone? I'm sure it's gonna be great. He's still so, because we did an advertisement for History of the World Part 2 on Hulu. He's like, watch it or whatever. You know, I already got paid for this. Still so with it.
I mean, at the end of Part 1, he did try to put out a trailer for
Part
2.
We're Jews in space.
Exactly.
Which he later used the tune for Men in Tights. So
the irony to the modern political America was somebody tried to make a comment about Jewish space leaders.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Mel Brooks had already done it in a
hilarious
way.
Well, he's on top of that sort of thing. It's like, So Solarosaur Avis.
Yes, this prehistoric creature we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about gremlins. We're talking about Mel Brooks, who had nothing to do with gremlins. That was Chris Columbus. Not the Christopher Columbus. The writer of who should be the only Chris Columbus we all should celebrate.
Hear, hear.
The writer and director of Home Alone and the first two Harry Potter movies.
And Home Alone 1 was a brilliant piece of work.
I've only seen Home Alone 2. My fiance showed it to me.
The first one is much slapstick comedy.
Yeah. Second one, unfortunately, does have a cameo from one Mr. Trump in it, but yeah. You can just ignore that part.
Yeah.
Anyways, other than that, it was good. I liked, what's his name? Tim Curry is like the head of the hotel trying to get him out. Tim Curry always plays such a riveting theatrical role.
He definitely has fun with it.
I love that part. You ever seen that part of Command and Conquer where, you know, because they always those have those full motion video cut scenes where it's just actual people, like, you know, and he just hams it up. It's like, we're going to the one place where communism hasn't touched, space. You can tell he's having fun with it.
You can tell when an actor's honestly having fun with
it. It's just full on ham and cheese, which Laura Soravis probably would love.
Probably.
I would go for some ham and cheese. I'm hungry.
That actually does sound kind of good right now.
Yeah, anyways, well, let's write this and get the hell out of here. Rate one of 65 million. I'm going to rate like 55 million. It's cool.
It
man.
Deserves it.
Yeah, it's like it's a cool little creature that like glided. Why is that such a hard word to say? When no other creature could even fly. So it was probably pretty safe up there. It probably just fell sometimes, I guess.
Probably.
But like, fall from a great height. It's little, you know, 14 inches. Yeah, that's cool. And then it just it took the world's greatest mass extinction to kill it, so.
And it looks like it belongs in a modern sci-fi movie.
Absolutely. It was in Primeval, which is a show I need to watch.
Need to watch again. It's been a while since I've watched
it. I loved the future predators they had.
Those were terrifying.
The creepy future predators. Yeah, it's like creatures from not millions of years in the future, from the past millions of years in the future. So.
Yeah, those were terrifying the first time I saw them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, well, that's it for this week. If you don't get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@methanolcreator.com or palebytespodcast@gmail.com, palebytespod on Twitter, and palebytespodcast on Instagram. I love how no one calls it X. It's Twitter. It will always be Twitter.
It's always Twitter.
It will always be Twitter. Elon Musk, that elongated muskrat, will never take that away from us.
Exactly.
So, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at the moment. I'm at NK Arts and Crafts.
Yeah.
Again, depending on how busy work is, depends on what kind of posting I do. But I've always got different kinds of arts I'm posting.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, that's neat. She's got some good stuff in there. She also illustrated my books, my Megazoke books, which you can buy on print to Kindle and do not have Slores or Avis in it. But if they were in it, I can imagine they could be like recon. They can have like radar dishes on them or something as they scout or something. I don't know. Who knows?
I give you ideas for the next one.
Exactly. All these were before dinosaurs, so they couldn't be there. If I want to be accurate with my dinosaurs with laser gun story. All right, well, that's it for this week. We'll save the invader episode of Paleobites. What do lizards make?
I don't know. A couple of families of lizard can vocalize.
Oh, that was me trying to do my tongue out. All the spit. Anyways, bye.